My dearly beloved in Christ, I have a sermon prepared for the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. However, due to circumstances, I'll discuss another topic. And again, I very much, welcome your questions, your phone calls, and asking permission for dispensation, for fasting, etc. But just would like to mention, on Friday, I received 3 calls regarding abstinence from meat. And then a number of people contacted me and asked if they can eat meat on the Friday after Christmas. Several people asked Father Gerardo and I to be dispensed from the law of abstinence on Christmas Eve. And then Bishop Piverun has called me on Christmas Eve to discuss the matter. So just like to just simply explain the church's laws on abstinence. Christ instructed the apostles concerning the church's laws on fast and abstinence from meat. The laws of fast and abstinence in themselves oblige under pain of mortal sin, slight violations, or venial sins. Moral theologians say that even though it would not be a mortal sin to eat less than an ounce of meat on a day of abstinence, such as a Friday, it would be gravely sinful to take 2 ounces. It'd be a mortal sin to consume 4 ounces of meat soup on a day of total abstinence. Although the law of abstinence forbids use of meat and soup or gravy made from meat, you don't have to eat fish. I mean, there's some people say, oh, do I have to eat fish? And sometimes in the calendar they have a fish. And okay, if you don't like fish, you don't have to eat fish. You may eat pasta, eggs, and seafood, and anything that's not meat. Lawful foods are, this is what the moral theologians say, okay? Frogs, turtles, snails, mussels, clams, oysters, crabs, etc. And then many years ago, my twin brother mentioned this, a priest in Michigan asked Rome if muskrat, an aquatic rodent with webbed feet, could be eaten on Friday. And you know what the answer was? Yes. Yes. It was Rome replied in the affirmative. So the moral theologian, Father Jones, stated, as seasoning, one may use rendered lard not only to prepare food, but also as a spread. Likewise, lawful are margarine and meat extracts that have lost the taste of meat or broth, for example, gelatin. Likewise, gelatin products of animal origin, but not soup cubes that contain meat ingredients. So all the faithful are bound to observe the law of abstinence from the completion of the 7th year of age, that is, from the beginning of the day after their 7th birthday, unless exempted or dispensed. So a greater reason is required to be excused from abstinence than from fasting. So the following are excused from the law of abstinence. Our soldiers and sailors are dispensed from the law of fast and abstinence on all days of the year. Of course, they can't choose their own food, right? Except the vigil of Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. This dispensation embraces the family of a Catholic soldier or sailor when he's living with them habitually, and also civilians living in military reservations and religious and nurses attached to the military hospitals. It's to be noted that by the family of a soldier or sailor is meant wife, children, and relatives. Habitual residence is requisite. When a soldier is home merely on leave of absence or furlough, the family does not enjoy the privilege. And then women who are pregnant are excused. A person who works at a very laborious job, and then the moralists say steel mill worker, a miner, etc., you would be excused from, you could eat meat on Friday. The sick and convalescent. So therefore, if someone has a bad cold or a flu, then chicken soup is allowed on a Friday because it's medicinal. You don't have to ask permission. You can do it. And then the moralists say, an invitation to eat out where one would be expected to eat forbidden fruit may not be accepted. One could nevertheless accept such an invitation if the refusal would mean a great loss to himself or be gravely offensive to the one inviting, or if it would create enmity. The same can be said to him whom unlawful food is unexpectedly served at a banquet. And he said unexpectedly. So now let's say a person inculpably forgot that it was a Friday and then they ate meat, remembered only after the meal was completed. In such a case, it was not a sin. You don't have to confess it. It was just, you just forgot. If a meat meal has been prepared by mistake on a day of abstinence, let's say on a Friday, it may not be eaten if meatless food is easily available and the meat can be readily kept for another day, like in a refrigerator or a freezer. If the meat prepared in such a case is of such a small quantity that it would not be forbidden under mortal sin, so it's under 2 ounces, the circumstance alone of having prepared it by mistake would excuse eating it from venial sin. And then in the Bishop's Seminary newsletter, Ad Sum, he often includes articles in the back from Father Connell's book, and even this one, that answer moral questions. So Father Connell comments on Friday dinner with non-Catholics. If a Catholic dines in the home of a non-Catholic friend on a Friday and meat is served, may he partake of it on the score that the embarrassment he would cause his friend by the refusal would constitute a sufficiently grave inconvenience to excuse him from the law of abstinence? And the answer? This case is a frequent occurrence nowadays in the United States, and it would seem that some priests are too ready to give a lenient decision. So in the same thing can happen with somebody in the conciliar church. You're visiting them, and then they're going to have a meat meal, and it's a Friday. 1966, the new church did away with the Friday abstinence except for Ash Wednesday and then the Fridays of Lent. And then here's what Father Connell says. It must be emphasized that if the meat were set before the Catholic in contempt of religion, or if it is foreseen that his partaking of it would be the occasion of grave scandal, he must abstain. Now in our country, there would rarely be grave inconvenience to anyone if a Catholic in the circumstances describes courteously declined the meat portion of the dinner. The host might be slightly embarrassed, but he could not reasonably be offended at the guest's adherence to the dictates of his conscience. Moreover, there would usually be no difficulty in providing the Catholic guest with an adequate meal of abstinence food. So you could ask him, hey, do you have any food that's meatless? You know, and everybody has, almost everybody in their home has meatless food, right? Furthermore, if a Catholic eats meat in this situation, there will frequently be scandal. The other guests may not comment on his conduct in his presence, but they will observe it. And to the Catholics, it may be incentive to be more lax in interpreting the law themselves. To the non-Catholic, it may furnish an occasion to denounce Catholics in general as inconsistent people and hypocrites. Accordingly, a priest who's consulted in a case of this kind should ordinarily answer that the Catholic guest is obliged to refuse the meat. If there are added circumstances in a particular case which point to a grave inconvenience in the event of a refusal, and there's no danger of scandal or contempt of religion, a lenient decision may be given, but this must be regarded as an exceptional case. And then there's another question. If a person has inadvertently ordered meat in a restaurant on Friday, may he eat if he realizes only after the meal has been served that he's bound to observe the abstinence on this day? So what do you think? If he has not yet begun to eat the meal, it is possible that he will be allowed to exchange it for some abstinence fare without any extra cost. Okay, that's 1959. Okay, you ordered something and then they might be nice. Okay, they won't do that today. You know, give you another meal for one price. If he has not yet begun to eat the meat, it is possible that he will be allowed to exchange it for some abstinence fare without any extra costs, which is not going to happen, I don't think. And if this is permitted, he must follow this procedure. However, if he will not be permitted to exchange the meal, or if he has already begun to eat it, he would ordinarily be allowed to partake of the dish. The reason is that for a person of average means, the expense involved would usually constitute an excusing cause. Of course, if scandal could be foreseen from eating the meat, as might be the case when the patron is a priest, one should abstain despite the cost and the waste. It should be noted that this solution refers only to the case of meat ordered by mistake in a restaurant. When a Catholic is a guest in a private home and meat is served on Friday, he's ordinarily bound to abstain from taking any because the danger of scandal is hardly ever absent. Indeed, some non-Catholic hosts do not hesitate to serve meat on such an occasion with the deliberate purpose of testing the Catholic spirit of the guest. So, in the United States, the bishops had permission to dispense Catholics from the law of abstinence on July 4th if it falls on a Friday, and also the Friday after Thanksgiving. Catholics are not dispensed from meat on the Friday after Christmas. So I very much recommend that you have a traditional Catholic calendar in your home, and it states very clearly the days of fast and abstinence. And again, even though there's a fish on there or half a fish, okay, that doesn't mean you have to have fish. It just means you can't have meat or limit the meat. Many years ago, a parishioner told me that his family had a large gathering on Christmas Eve, and this is had been a custom for many, many, many years, and asked for a dispensation from the law of abstinence because much of the food contained meat. So I asked the bishop, and he said no. On another occasion, a couple in Texas, I'd given marriage instructions. They had planned a wedding on Friday, and the bishop kindly told them that they could not be dispensed on their wedding day. He mentioned that there are many excellent meatless dishes such as salmon, lobster, shrimp, etc. And I spoke to Father yesterday, Father Gerardo, and then there's fettuccine, ravioli, gnocchis, fish tacos, and many other dishes you can have as options. And then I was ordained to the priesthood on an Ember Friday of Pentecost many years ago and never even thought of asking for a dispensation. So here's some suggestions, okay? First, plan ahead. If a family gather is scheduled on a Friday or a day of abstinence, talk to others to see if it can be rescheduled to another day. Second, people are more health conscious and concerned about ingredients in food now more than ever before, you know, with gluten-free and then low-fat and then low sugar, low sodium, and everything else. And then more and more people are abstaining from meat following a completely vegan diet. Therefore, if you observe the church's laws faithfully, you may not even stand out. You may have to bring your own meatless food at a family gathering. And then there are options. Even In-N-Out Burger offers a grilled cheese sandwich. And then there's the laws of abstinence are territorial laws. So I spoke to Father Gerardo. In Argentina, you can eat meat every Friday except the Fridays of Lent. And then, of course, on Ash Wednesday, the Vigil of Christmas, Ember Days, etc. And the same with Mexico. If you go to Mexico, then you can eat meat on Friday. So let's say there's something really, really important. Okay, you can go to Tijuana and then you can have the meat. And then I remember reading about McDonald's. It was founded in 1940, so that was well before Vatican II. And they were doing really good business from Sunday to Thursday and then on Saturday, but they noticed that on Friday the sales went way down. And somebody asked, they had a meeting, and they asked, why is that? They said, yeah, because Catholics will not eat meat on Friday. So that's how they came up with the fish fillet. Obviously, this sermon cannot cover all cases, but clearly states the principles. So Father Jones stated, physical or moral impossibility excuses from the laws of fasting. However, we must not be lax. So according to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, to heal the wound inflicted by sin, the remedy of penance is most necessary. When a wound has been healed, some scars remain which demand attention. Likewise with regard to the soul. After the guilt of sin is forgiven, some of the effects remain from which the soul requires to be cleansed. St. John Chrysostom fully confirms the same doctrine when he says, it's not enough that the arrow has been extracted from the body. The wound which it inflicted must be healed. So with regard to the soul, it's not enough that sin has been pardoned. The wound which it has left has to be healed by penance. St. Augustine also frequently teaches that penance exhibits at once the mercy and the justice of God. His mercy, by which he pardons sin and the eternal punishment due to sin, his justice, by which he exacts temporary punishment from the sinner. So prior to Vatican II, beginning with the Lent of 1952, the bishops of the United States promulgated rules regarding fast and abstinence. And here's how they introduced it. Why do we fast? Why do we abstain? To foster the spirit of penance and of reparation for sin, to encourage self-denial and mortification, and to guide her children in the footsteps of our Divine Savior, Holy Mother Church imposes by law the observance of fast and abstinence. So I'll close with a story. Dorothy Fremont Grant, a convert and a brilliant writer, tells this story of herself. I had a marvelous time on the roof of a large New York hotel one day. It was a Friday. In company with 600 others, I sat down to lunch in the Roof Garden restaurant. The luncheon menu had been selected by the group. Though a Friday, 600 lamb chops were served. All went well until a waiter placed a lamb chop before me. "I'll take a poached egg," I said quietly. Soon the head waiter was at my side. "Doesn't Madame care for the chop?" he asked. "You forget, perhaps, that today is Friday. I'll take a poached egg." 3 of the 10 at my table were Catholics. But seeing the fuss and being cowards, they just smiled and said they didn't like eggs. Even at the risk of causing trouble, you should observe the laws of abstinence. The Catholic ladies in this group were ready to offend God rather than hurt the feelings of the waiters or those who ordered the meat. Dorothy Grant, though she was a convert to the Catholic faith, had enough courage to obey the laws of the church no matter what happened. She failed to find good example in the Catholic women who were with her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.